the latest edition of SIGGRAPH Spotlight. Today, we sit down with the creators behind two apps making visual waves, and both of which can be seen during the upcoming Appy Hour at SIGGRAPH 2017. Keep listening to hear from mobile chair Akshay Agarwal as he chats with folks from Espressi Watercolor and Oblique, a new way to photograph.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to SIGGRAPH Spotlight, focused on Appy Hour. My name is Akshay Agarwal. I'm the mobile program chair for 2017, and I also ran the mobile program for 2016. Thanks to Nelson Chu and Masood for taking the time to talk about their app, their submission, and what they think of SIGGRAPH today. And as a way to get this started, let's do introductions. Masood, do you please want to introduce yourself?
My name is Masood Kamandi, and I'm a Los Angeles-based artist. And I'm also a digital media professor, and I've been working for a number of years in photography and code, sort of the combining computation with photography, just in my own work. And more recently, I have started to work with iOS and creating apps. So that's me.
Great. Thanks, Masood. Hey, Nelson, over to you.
So, hi, everybody. My name is Nelson Chu. I'm the developer of the painting app called Espressi. I'm also an independent developer. I don't really have a company. Apart from coding, I also do like art, painting or calligraphy, Eastern calligraphy in particular. And yeah, that's what I do.
Great. Thanks, Nelson. So since we have the introduction kicked off, let's get started with some of the aspects that will make the audience to know more about what your submission is and what made you submit. So I'll post first question here. Like, both of you have great submissions, and they're pretty awesome, and which is one of the reasons why we actually picked them, right? So what made you decide to submit your piece to this year's SIGGRAPH Appy Hour? Who would want to go first?
Oh, I can go.
Okay. Sure.
My app is called Oblique, and it's a real-time photography app that allows users to directly manipulate with the camera feed. So instead of taking a photograph and then manipulating it in post-production, you can do everything in real time. And it came from me kind of as a photographer wanting to get out of my studio and away from my computer and just work in real time on the amazing cameras that we have on mobile devices. And the reason I submitted to Appy Hour is this will be my third SIGGRAPH, and I've attended the education summit at SIGGRAPH. I've attended a lot of talks and been really inspired by the community, and in particular the tradition of connecting art with computation. And so when I saw the opportunity, I couldn't say no. It's an awesome opportunity for feedback, and there's an excitement at SIGGRAPH that is very, very obvious, I think, to everyone who attends. But I never expected to be presenting at it, so this is exciting for me.
Welcome on board, Muscle. I'm sure it's going to be fun. So get ready for the excitement in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Nelson, would you like to share on what made you decide to submit Espressi?
Sure. First of all, I think SIGGRAPH is the most prestigious computer graphics conference in the world. And I think everybody who does computer graphics would like to submit to SIGGRAPH somehow. So the app that I'm working on is actually a painting app that does that in particular water-based paint simulation. And I believe that's really the best in the world. So somehow I think I should submit it to SIGGRAPH. And then last year I saw another painting app, which is also a watercolor app, and got selected in Appy Hour. So I thought, so it seems like Appy Hour likes watercolor apps. So that's why I also submitted that.
Great. In fact, one of the reasons, what excited me with the submissions this year and specifically both of you was, we've seen like previous years, there's a lot of content consumption on mobile, right? And as we have kind of stepped on our, as the computation power or computation capabilities on these mobile devices have increased, we've seen more content creation type apps coming in, right? Or content editing type apps coming in, especially like the work that you, both of you have. It's not, and don't take me that I'm trying to overly simplify this, but at the same time, what you guys have done is super amazing, right? With both the apps and at the same time, the hardware capabilities or what the platform capabilities are coming together. I think it's making it like kind of moving from, moving the content creation from, like there's always going to be content creation on larger form factor devices, whether it's PCs or high powerful laptops, whatnot, right? But at the same time, it's also great giving this ability to create content creation on mobile devices, which kind of is really exciting and which is what I'm looking forward towards. So as you both develop through the process of developing and creating your apps, whether it's Spati, whether it's Oblique, will you be able to walk me through the process of what made you think of an app like this, or and then the process or in terms of you, how you went about developing and creating your app?
So, as I said earlier, I'm an artist. I work in photography, and a lot of the desire to create my app came from my own experiences writing software for my photography. I would take pictures in the past and then write in Java using the processing framework to manipulate my photographs. I would make filters and just different like procedural things to be done to the photographs. But what I felt was that process was very disconnected. And as you said earlier, you know, the processing power on these devices is increasing so rapidly that it enables real-time editing to happen, which I sort of saw that possibility and decided to teach myself Objective-C and OpenGL in order to create this app. And in the process, I also wanted to allow other people to use my software too, because in the past when I'd write software, it was sort of stuck on my computer, but now giving it to other people and allowing other people to engage with the process is really exciting for me. And I'm also an educator and a teacher. So, you know, I teach Swift and Java at the processing, at the community college level. So, so that's engaging others is always a goal. So I taught myself, I worked on it for about 2 years, and it was a big learning curve. You know, a lot of the mathematics and learning OpenGL, GLSL, and working with the library I worked with was really amazing, and just a really incredible process that I hope will continue to open doors for me and change the way I see making photographs with the iPhone.
That's awesome. And I also guess that one of the things, as you said, the like ability to kind of share the app or other people use it. And I guess the whole new model of the various app stores, right, whether it's the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, probably made it easier to kind of reach a lot more people than probably you could previously.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's to have the user base of iPhones, whether it's Android or iOS, you know, out there, playing with software that I made is a really amazing thing, just for me as like not only a programmer and developer, but also as an artist, to see how maybe I can contribute to the conversation about photography on mobile.
Great. Nelson, over to you in terms of like how was your experience and similar process with respect to development and creation of your app you could share with the audience?
Sure. Actually, it's a long story. I first worked on simulation of a paintbrush since 1999, which is
wow.
Over a year ago. And
amazing.
Yes, that's a long time. So, and then, so first I worked on the paintbrush simulation, and then 2 or 3 years later, I worked on paint simulation. And it was the paint simulation that got us into SIGGRAPH 2005. That was actually my first submission to SIGGRAPH. And also my first time to visit the US. So that was quite an experience. And then that was only a prototype. And we actually got Adobe interested in our work. And then they licensed our work the next year. And then the plan was they're going to get it into Photoshop. And they're supposed to hire me. And then unfortunately or fortunately, they then say, no, sorry, we can't hire you at the moment. And then that thing kept kind of sitting there for a while. And then I got into another company. And then some years more later, and I decided, well, this is really the time that I should really go back to what I left off and really create an app so that people can actually play with it. Because otherwise, it would just be a research project, right? So, and then I spent like maybe 4 or 5 years keep working on that, kind of like turning a prototype into a real app. And that's the result of what you see in Express today.
Wow, so your journey started in actually 1999. It's not a journey that started with directly on the app development on the phone.
Oh, by the way, yeah. So we actually started as a desktop app.
Mm-hmm.
So I still remember at that time we required an expensive graphics card for it to run on, for it to run in real time. And then as time goes by, we have even the, now today, the, say the Microsoft Surface tablet can already run it fast enough. So mobile has really come a long way, I would say. The development of the GPU and things like that.
Wow, I was just about to ask you, especially since you said that you started developing this app like late 90s, I was just about to ask you on how you see the transition of capabilities, like what you used to develop on desktop then to what you see on mobile. But I think you just answered that way back you need to buy expensive graphic cards to do what you can do today on a Microsoft Surface.
1999 was the year that the first modern GPU was born. And at that year, we were trying to use 3D graphics to model the paintbrush using OpenGL.
Hmm.
So you see, it's really a long journey.
Yeah, long journey. Great. Yeah. And it seems like the capabilities of these devices just seem to keep increasing and in smaller form factors, like easy to lug around.
Yeah. So in the year 2010 or something like that, and so we got the iPad, right? So that became a very popular device. But unfortunately, I didn't have a tablet solution at that time. And then a few years later, what I work on is on the Windows platform. So, and fortunately, the Intel processor has caught up with the processing power and the battery life requirement for a mobile device. So all of a sudden, I suddenly got a tablet solution for free.
Yeah, wow. that's fascinating.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, that's fascinating to see the journey. So, and given, I assume that both of you, given you have developed your app on mobile and you have strong leanings towards mobile in terms of what you guys are doing, personally, where do you see the future of mobile going? Especially given, in case of Nelson, where he saw the move from traditional, like huge laptops and machines to what he's been able to do on a little more mobile portable form factors. So where do you see this headed towards?
I could see devices are shrinking. I expect people can use a phone to do watercolor simulation in the near future. But at least for my application, because you're painting, so you want to have a large enough painting surface, right? So I would say what they call it a 2-in-1 device, which is it can be a tablet, and also when you attach the keyboard, it becomes like a laptop, right? Those 2-in-1 devices would probably become one of the most popular form factor, I think, at least for my application, yeah, for painting applications.
Sure, no, that makes sense, right, given the surface requirements and whatnot. And maybe who knows, as the industry evolves, what device could fit various form factors, small or large, depending on the need, right? Like, and it's not just about mobile, it's all the other components coming together around for that. Back to Masood, like, in general, people tell me that the best camera is the one that's always with you. So where do you see the future of mobile going, especially given your lineage with cameras and photography and the app?
Well, part of the thing that excited me so much about the iPhone was that, you know, it is the world's most ubiquitous camera. Everyone has it, and not just the iPhone, mobile phones in general, they're everywhere. I don't think more photographs have ever been taken in history than are being taken right now. And you know, as Nelson was saying, increasing GPU power of these devices just opens so many doors. So for me in particular, I think there's been a lot of focus in the past on simulating what we know, which is wonderful. But I also think in the future, we're going to be creating new and different ways of making art that are entirely different, that are based on this incredible graphics processing power that enable people to leave their computer, their desktop, and go out into the world. You know, I always hear people talk about how they have to, you know, limit their children's screen time, and there's a kind of like negative impression of how mobile devices affect people. But I actually think this is really positive in the sense that these devices are going to allow people to go out and make art wherever they want to make them. And that for me is really, really exciting. And you know, it's not just pen to paper or camera. It's also augmented reality. There are so many applications for this technology that I think we're only kind of beginning to envision. And I think the mobile form factor, the design requirements, you know, they require the apps to be easy to use. There's a kind of language that we have developed for touch that I think is unique and more accessible to more people. And I think the successful technologies are always the more easy to use and accessible technologies. I think that for me is extremely exciting.
Yeah, and again, I think it's as you said, it's touch, it's the camera everywhere, and the cameras on these devices are getting better. It used to be like smaller resolution cameras, now you have higher resolution cameras on phones. Like, I've seen devices come out with dual cameras, flash. Of course, they're still like the lenses are smaller compared to what you have on the typical DSLRs, but where do you see this kind of evolving?
I mean, one of my interests is computer vision and image processing. And, you know, when you combine multiple lenses, all of these sorts of possibilities that happen when you have the kind of the limited space of a mobile phone makes people really ingenious in the engineering terms of like what you want to add. And I feel like, you know, maybe it's depth maps with multiple lenses, or maybe it's all sorts of things. We're only beginning to see kind of the possibilities. So I can't really speculate. I do know that there's something about the limited form factor of mobile that invites people to innovate, which for me is extremely exciting. And I only think we're sort of at the beginning. I mean, year 9 of after the iPhone? Is it 2008 that it came out, or 2006?
2005,
Yeah, 2007. So yeah, year 10. You know, so we're at the very, very beginning of this technology. And it's amazing to see the GPU performance, you know, back then versus now. It's just mind blowing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just exciting how the industry has evolved and how it continues to evolve. Great. So I'll move on to the next question for our audience. And Masood and Nelson, you both have your work that's being selected for SIGGRAPH for the Happy Hour this year. So what excites you about upcoming SIGGRAPH conference? Like Masood, especially, I think you mentioned earlier that this is your third year, you've played some different roles, you've seen how the audience plays out, but this time you like are not an attendee but you're a participant. So kind of how excited or what excites you about this?
Well, I'm always excited by SIGGRAPH to kind of learn from what I see and learn about the not only the products that are out there, but also like the theoretical and the research stuff that's happening. In particular, I'm very excited about augmented reality and, just to get the inspiration for so many great projects. I think the genesis of my Oblique app came from the excitement of going to the first SIGGRAPH that I went to 2-3 years ago. So, I think what excites me about SIGGRAPH is what excites me sort of in general about technology, that it's very, very collaborative, that it's this place, because of like how complex what we do is, we have to kind of rely on each other, and that creates amazing things like the open source community, conferences like SIGGRAPH, and it's kind of what has always drawn me toward technology, that people kind of have to work together and can create amazing things when we kind of rely upon each other, and then also like the whole history of computation and all the software that we're working on top of, my app wouldn't be possible without, the development of the C language or, and all those people who worked on it or all the, all the amazing people who have worked on this for all of these years. So for me, SIGGRAPH is kind of represents all of that.
Yeah, awesome. Nelson?
Yep. To me, I think the most important or most exciting thing about SIGGRAPH is that you have the opportunity to meet up with people, because as a researcher, it's kind of a lonely process when you just work on your thing. And then finally, when you go to conferences, you meet with the people to see them, to talk to them, so that you don't really feel that lonely anymore. And I still remember the first SIGGRAPH that I went to, 2005. And I met with Bill Baxter and Cassidy Curtis, who were working on also on the painting simulation area. And then actually Bill Baxter later became my coworker or work partner when we both joined Microsoft.
Small world, huh?
Yeah, it's a small world. And it's always exciting to talk to people. Yeah.
Great. Now, I'm equally super excited about the upcoming SIGGRAPH. And Nelson, you said your first SIGGRAPH was 2005. So, Masood, when was your first SIGGRAPH?
It's 2017. I think it was 2015. That was my first one. Yeah, so it's pretty recent.
pretty recent. But hey, LA, right? So it's like 2005, 2015. And SIGGRAPH, you see people like proudly showing their badges, tags that show, hey, they've been there for 25 years, or this is the 30th SIGGRAPH, or whatnot, right? So in fact, we have people in our organizing team. I think last year, we were celebrating the 30th year of her helping with SIGGRAPH, like 30th consecutive year, right, when she was helping with SIGGRAPH. So it's like phenomenal to see and be inspired, right, like just to see people around and people who are willing to help, share the knowledge, share what they have learned, and then give it back to the community, right? It's so inspiring and exciting. So I'm looking forward to this SIGGRAPH again.
me too. And I'm lucky I can take a bus to SIGGRAPH.
It just feels like, I think once people start attending SIGGRAPH, it's always kind of like, hey, I want to attend, right? To meet the people and community and learn new stuff. It's always exciting.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, Masood and Nelson, great. Thank you so much for taking the time to share about your app, what do you think, and how excited you are about SIGGRAPH, and so are we. And we definitely look forward to seeing you guys very soon. And again, appreciate the time.
I don't know about you, you, but after listening to that chat, we feel so inspired to create something new. Before we go and do that, we want to first thank you for tuning in to this installment of SIGGRAPH Spotlight. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and if you feel compelled, rate the show to share your feedback with potential listeners. We hope to see you at SIGGRAPH 2017, July 30th through August 5th.